I want to talk about, as you can see on the screen here, step into a new season. Are you tired of the season you're in right now? Got one, it's honest. Amen to me too. Got two, it's honest, the same home. Yeah, there's problems on the horizon. Just play it. Step into a new season. I'm thankful that seasons change and everything is governed by seasons. If you really think about this, think about, of course, our natural seasons. We just talked about fall, winter, spring, summer. We have hurricane season, tornado season. Then we have seasons of our own personal life. We have seasons when we're a child. You know, right now is some of Tay's best years. If he only knows what the future holds, he would stay little. And then we grow up and we hit our teenage years. And those are very hard years. Very, very frustrating season of our lives. And then we get a little older and start settling down a little bit. And we're starting our family or starting getting married or, you know, trying to become a man or a woman in our 20s or whatever, trying to start out our life, whether it's going to college or settling down, whichever it is, going to the military, whatever your thing is. Then we get a little older and the kids get bigger and they go out of the house and you got the empty nest season of your life, which are good years, hopefully. And then you got a season where your health may start declining and you get older and a little bit slower and you get into your end of your season in the earth. But our whole life's governed by seasons and they don't stay the same. They change. You know, I look back at my childhood. I had a great childhood. Loved being a kid. It'd be nice to go back sometimes. It would be nice to go back and be a kid sometimes. let mom and dad handle all the problems and pay all the bills and do all the stuff. Wonderful time in my life. I had wonderful time spiritually in yesterday years of my seasons in the church world, the church age. But we can't go back to those seasons. We can't go back and become that little boy or girl again. We can't go back 20 or 30 years and fit in. That same plug won't fit in the same way anymore. So what we have to do, we have to embrace new seasons. We have to embrace a new tomorrow. Nothing wrong with new seasons. We like yesteryear. We like yesterday. We like songs of old, you know. Some of us like the old Hank Williams Jr. song that reminds us of a yesterday, and that's fine. But we're not living in yesterday. We're living today. And so we need daily bread today. We need hope today. We need joy today. We need peace today. We need power today. We need direction today. And so God has a season for us to walk into. Every season we're in doesn't last. They all go away. Some are harder than others. Some are more intent than others. Some are darker than others. Some seem like our season is never going to end. It's just one ongoing season that seems there's no light in the tunnel, but there is. We have to wait on God to bring us into that season. We're going to read a story here of Abram. He's called Abram at this point, Genesis 12, of God speaking to him because God had a new season for his people to walk into. And in order for us to walk into a new season, we first of all got to hear from God, and then we got to obey when God says to step out. And God tells us to go. We have to trust that. God doesn't want us in the same season we're in right now. It's all part of a cycle of life, and he has better things for us, just like the kingdom of God is a great season. You know, for those of us that have lost loved ones, our parents, our grandparents, a child, whoever, they're a Christian. We know their season is totally different than our season. They're with the Lord forever. They're in a wonderful season of their life, and that's the final season. And every cycle gets us to that final destination, that final season. Here in Genesis 12, let's read what God spoke to Abraham. Verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you." You may be thinking, how is something that happened, you know, thousands of years ago affect my life today? Abraham's dead and gone, had nothing to do with my life today. Has a lot to do with your life. Because God has a land for us to walk into here. God is trying to show us a place that we can go into. But will we trust him enough to listen and then step out and do that? See, going into a strange land is never fun at first. But then once we, it's kind of like, you ever had a food you were scared to try? Melly has never tried cottage cheese. Anybody not like cottage cheese? Quite a few, okay. Melly doesn't like it because she's never tried it. She said, "I don't like it." Have you ever tried it? No. How do you know you don't like it? How can you say you don't like something you've not tried? She said, "I don't like the way it looks, the texture. It's all clunky. It looks nasty." You don't know, though, till you taste it. What if Melanie took that first spoonful of cottage cheese and was hooked and found a new love and be on the couch every night with a bucket of cottage cheese while she watched TV? She went to a place she'd never been before. She tried something she hadn't done. We're afraid sometimes to step out. We're afraid to trust God. How much do we really believe God? Do we believe God based on what we can see or what He tells us to do? There's a big difference. Our vision is very limited. We have very impaired vision when it comes to things of God because we can only see what's around us. We see our heartache. We see our pain. We see the fear of the future. We have anxiety. We have stress. We have worry. And that's all the things that appear before us. That's all we can see. But what God sees is so much deeper than that, so much greater than that. God is saying, I didn't bring you this far to leave you where you're at. I didn't get you here and all of a sudden this happened and I'm caught off guard. No, I knew what was going to happen in your life. I knew the path paved out for you. I knew what was ahead in your life. Just trust me and stay on the road. I'll bring you out of this season into a different season and into a better season. Even in tragedy, God can produce a good season. Even in a drought, God can produce a good season. Even when everything looks wrong, God can still produce a good season. If we'll trust Him that He's the head of our season. He's the one planting the crops. He's the one that's doing all the work. Just trust Him that He's got something better waiting on you. Just stay faithful to where you're at, and you will come out of this. God spoke to Abram and says, you got to get out of your house, get away from your family, go to a place I'm going to show you. He didn't have a blueprint of where to go at that point. It wasn't all mapped out for him. You know, all of us can go somewhere if we know where we're going. That's easy. I mean, if God just shows us the plan, you know, I mean, we pray, God, speak to me, show me the way. So what God does, He gives us pieces. He doesn't give us the whole way. He gives us pieces. He says, here's what you need to do first. But we don't want to take that first step because we don't know where it's going to lead to. We want the end result. God doesn't show us the end result in our seasons. He just wants us to trust Him step by step, baby steps, step by step. Your child didn't all of a sudden take off running a 5K when they were 3 years old. They had to, or when they were 1 year old, they had to start out like all kids do. They start crawling. Then they start maybe doing the slide, pulling their body behind them. Then they get on their knees and they start doing that. And then they take a few little steps and fall, then a few more and fall. And then before you know it, they're walking. Then they're running. Then they're jumping. It's steps. God has steps for us to walk into. Abraham's first step was this. I got to obey what He told me. You told me to get up, leave my family, and go somewhere. I'm going to go. I'm going to pack my bags. I'm going to go. Don't know where, but I trust you, God. God had a promise for Abraham in verse 2. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's a pretty powerful promise. All the families of the earth. Do you know we are of Abraham's seed? The Bible speaks of that. We are of the Abraham covenant. We are an heir of Abraham's seed. We are a part of the promise of God. All families will be blessed. But you got to do something. You got to trust me, and you got to take that first step. You got to take that step of faith. That first step's the hardest to take. For someone to be born again, making that first step at the altar is the hardest step. Once you get out and make that first step, your feet just start going. It's that first step that's the hardest. It's that first step that's the hardest trigger to pull. But once you do it, you've got boldness to continue the journey. The first step's the hardest. Abraham had a choice to make. I like my family. I'm familiar where I'm at. I'm comfortable. I've got a good living here. You want me to pack up and go somewhere to a strange place with no provision ahead of me, with no family around me? God, really? But look what I'm going to give you. All families. I'm going to make a covenant with you, a promise with you, that all families are going to be blessed. That's a pretty powerful promise. Verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. That was his nephew. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75. Even in his time period, Abraham was approaching an old man. Even in his time period, he was considered an old man. 75 years old. Most of us 75 are counting our retirement bills and living the dream. Yeah, right. That's what we want to do. 75, we're winding down. 75, we're everybody telling us to take it easy. Slow down. You can't do as much. And everybody trying to put you in a grave at 75, right? Don't Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. You can get hurt, and everybody's treating you like a 3-year-old because you're 75. Here is Abraham, and God saying at 75, I've got something new for you, a brand new season. Man, a brand new. You know, Grandma said it the other day, a couple services ago, that, you know, God not done with her yet. Grandma ain't winding down. She's still winding up. She's still on the roller coaster going this way. She's still clicking. She ain't going down yet. God's not done. 75. He says, leave your family. Leave what you know. Think about this. And I was, you know, take my grandma, for instance. She's in that ballpark, let's just say, to be kind to her. And she's pretty much lived this area her whole life. Within, you know, 30, 40 miles, her whole life she lived in this area. Born, raised her family, grew up. What if God spoke to grandma? Now, the biggest problem grandma would have would be her girls. But what if God spoke to grandma in a dream or a voice? Says, I want you to pack your bags, and I want you to leave your family and go to a place I'm going to show you. But my family's here, Lord. I've always lived here. This is who I know. This is what I know. And you want me at my age to uproot all that I know and go somewhere else? Yeah, because I've got something more than you can ever see. See, Abraham never got to experience the full promise of God. He saw part of it, but he never saw the extent of his promise because he died before he saw the real extent of the promise. He saw part of it, just like Moses saw part of it, but not the fullness of it. So here's Grandma calling the girls. God's told me to pack up and leave and go to a place I don't know. They probably call them the cuckoo house, number one, right? She's saying she's seeing things, going somewhere she don't know. Help. Somebody get here at the wagon right now, right? But no, I'm going. God spoke to me. He's heard me. I've heard him. I'm going. God's got something better for me than where I'm at right now. God's got something better for you than where you're at right now. That's the good news. There's something better for you than where you are right now. Your season is going to change if you'll step out by faith and trust him. There's something better in your future. You may think it's all been wiped away, that your best is behind you, that there's no hope in the future. That's a lie from the enemy. As long as you're alive on the earth, there are seasons of the future in your life. There are future seasons of blessings, future seasons of growth, future seasons of prosperity, future seasons of peace and joy in your life. There are future seasons God has. You're not going to always be where you are right now. The darkness is going to give way to light, and your joy is going to come back again. I promise you, God's not done with where you are right now. Something greater is on the way for your life. Trust him and believe that. Hallelujah. I think two people believe this message. If y'all want to stay where you're at, stay where you're at. You want to stay in hopelessness, stay in hopelessness. But I'm telling you, I don't want to be where I've always been. I want to step out and say, God, there's got to be something more than where I am right now. I can't live on yesterday's oatmeal. I need today. I need something fresh. I need to know there's a tomorrow waiting on me of you being there, ushering me into something more than I've ever walked in or ever experienced or ever heard or ever touched, ever. There's something better in my life. That's what God has for us. What he had for Abraham. Abraham didn't want to leave. I'm sure he fought God. He argued with God, but he departed. Just like God said, I'll go where you got me, God. I don't know where that is, but I'm going to go where you have me go. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarai, she's called Sarai here instead of Sarah. Her name has changed as well. And his wife and Lot, his brother's son, his nephew, and their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sichem unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanites were there in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto your seed will I give this land, and there builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He said, this land I'm going to give your seed. God had a future far beyond the imagination that Abram could ever imagine. He just thought he was going to a place to settle down and, you know, to have a name for himself, but didn't understand the magnitude of what that was really going to be. Kind of like a human legacy when you start backtracking generations of where you came from. in your family lineage. You go back several generations, you may find you had some heroes in your family. You may find you had some villains in your family as well, right? But you go back and you'll find that you had somebody that made a difference in somebody's life. And that seed passed the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, and it keeps on going. The thing about seed, it always multiplies. Always multiplies. You know, if you got a garden, you know what I'm talking about. I got some maters this morning, and I appreciate that, some homegrown tomatoes. And you know what? You get a lot more tomatoes on a plant than the seed that you plant. You plant a few little seeds, you get so many tomatoes, you can't, you know, you got to have a tomato fight to get rid of them. Because it just multiply. That's how life is. That's how seed is. It multiplies. You know, in my own lineage, I look back to my grandfather, who's three generations from me, and how that God saved him and then moved on my mother, then moved on me, and then moved on my seed. So there's been four, in my own personal life, I've seen four generations of seed that have come forth in my own life, just in a few, in just four little generations. That's not very long. I've seen seed expand and grow, and God bless four generations of seed. See, Abraham was about to embark on something he never dreamed of, and he never lived to really see the impact of what God had promised him. But here he goes, and he says, I'm going to bless you. Now, what happened? We're not going to read all that. Let me tell you what happened. He was 75 years old. Him and Sarah could not have a child. He was like, God, you told me I'm going to have seed, but I can't even have seed with my wife. What's going on with that? You told me you're going to bless me, bless my name, bless my seed, but I can't even have a child. Sarah is barren. How can this promise come to pass? Now think about this. He promised him he's going to bless him out of his loins, but yet his wife was barren. So at 99 years old, Abraham was, and his wife Sarah was 90, long past childbearing years. An angel appeared, said, you're going to have a child. Abraham laughed. Me, an old man, Lord. My wife, 90 years old. She's barren. She can't bear children. How are we going to have a child? You're going to have a child. Now, from the time he moved to this Canaan, he was 75 years old. By the time he had that child, it took 25 years, around 25 years before that first seed came forth. So God's promise took 25 years after he told him, but it came to pass. We put God in a box. We're like, okay, God, you told me you want to move. As long as it's by 3 o'clock Tuesday, I'm cool. It don't work that way. I mean, it may be 3 o'clock Tuesday, but it may be, you know, 22 years from now. It don't mean it's next week. God knows when to bring the blessing into our life. He knows when to change over that season. He knows when it's our time. And we've got to trust God that if he's promised us something, if he's shown us something, if he's given us something, he's going to keep his end of the bargain every time. 75 years old he was. And then 25 years it took to see the promise realized. Finally, he has Isaac. Finally, he has a son from his wife. And then we know what happens. He finally gets a promise. And what is God asking to do? Sacrifice him. Are you kidding me? Okay, God, I left my family. I left all that on you. I left mom and dad. Poor mom's, you know, over in front of the hut with the Kleenexes, petting the camel, waving bye at me. I'm leaving. I'm leaving mama. Leaving daddy. Left everything on you. Okay, then you told me I'm going to have a seed. I spent 25 years waiting on it. I mean, 25 years I spent, that's a work lifetime for some people. 25 years I spent waiting on a promise. Now you give it to me. I've got my son. Yes, thank you, Lord. You want me to what? Sacrifice my son? My only son, the one you gave me? Yeah. So here he is. I mean, imagine this. Imagine. D's walking with Maverick, holding his little hand, you know, got the wood, going to sacrifice. And the little boy knew what was going on with sacrifice because he grew up in that custom and knew about sacrifices. And little Maverick looks up at his mama and says, I see you got the wood, mom. I see you got all this, but we ain't got no animal. Where's the sacrifice at? Can you imagine the gulp in her heart? And had to probably force herself to say, don't worry. Son, God provide. And he takes Isaac and ties him down. The Bible's clear on this. Raises up the knife. God's voice calls out, stop. It was never God's intent to sacrifice Isaac. It was God's intent to test Abraham's obedience. How much do you really trust me? Church, it's easy to trust God in a good season. That's easy. When things are right, you know. But man, when a season's rotten, when there's nowhere to turn, when we feel like we've lost all hope, when our world's been flipped upside down, that's hard then to have that same trust, because all of a sudden we're looking at our circumstance and not at our God. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley, as the old song says. He's still God. He doesn't change. See, our faith cannot be measured by our current circumstance. Our faith always has to be measured by God who's in us. And God doesn't change. He knows you're going through a bad season, and He cares. He cares so much. I can't explain why things happen. I can't explain why tragedy comes. I'm not going to pretend to. I'm not one of these preachers that use this line that I've heard preachers use. Well, if they'd had more faith, they wouldn't have died. If they had more faith, they would have did this. I'm not using that. That's a cop-out line. Mm-mm. I'm going to be honest. I don't know why things happen. There are tragedies we don't understand. On the news last night, I heard about a little 8-year-old boy that drowned in an apartment complex down in Charlotte. Just swimming, got in deep end, couldn't drown. 8-year-old, gone. Life gone. Can't explain that. That makes no sense to my intellect. And I know we all think, well, God could have stopped it. We all say that line, don't we? But I do know this, God does care, God does love us, God does know, and God is for us. That I know. And one day we'll have our answers. But in the meantime, we're stuck in this season. We're stuck in this time zone of heartache, of pain, of storms, of battles. We don't always be very wary of people that are always happy. They've got problems. If they're always happy. They're on a happy pill or something. They're always going around like this. Hi. I'm great. I'm happy. Life is great. The next day, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy. They are hiding something deep. Because I'm telling you, though we should be joyful, and we are, as Christians, happy most times, there are times we're not so happy. There are times we're in pain. There's times we are struggling. There's times we are desperate. There are times it's hard for us to get and go to work in the morning. There's times we are so discouraged, the bed's our best friend. There's times we don't want to face the day, but we put on this smile, the Sunday smile, and we act like everything's all right when there's raging hell within us because we're in a bad season. But we're not going to stay there. As sure as summer is going to give way to fall, before long, we'll begin to see the leaves change. Starts up in the mountains. The higher elevation you go, the quicker it starts changing. You go up to West Jefferson in a month or so, you'll start seeing changes, mild changes. Maybe not a month, month and a half. You'll start seeing some mild changes. And those leaves that are green and start turning gold and brown and orange and yellow and all those colors that's so beautiful, even though it's death taking over. Before you know it, you'll go to the mountains and it'll be just a color scheme of colors. Beautiful. Then comes winter, the old dead season. The leaves fall off, the trees are barren, the grass goes brown, the ground's hard and frozen. Kind of a dead season. It gets dark at 5:00. That's the worst thing I hate about winter. I hate the short days. I mean, You're watching TV at 7:00. It's like it's midnight. You know, you're like, I'm ready for bed at 7:00. Golly, it's been dark for 2 hours. Your body automatically starts shutting down. But you know what? It don't stay winter. Remember that big snow we got this past year? About 18 inches, 20 inches around here? Big snow for us. I was proud. Even some Yankee friends tell me, y'all did good. They were even impressed. And it's even big for us up in New York. That's a big snow. It poured for 2 days. Poured. Kept piling up. You know what? If you remember that storm, it snowed hard, then it broke. It stopped for a while. For several hours, didn't do nothing. And they said, well, another patch is coming in. Sure enough, what happened? Another patch came in. Snowed for hours again. People all over the road sliding, you know, piled up, driveways covered, you know, milk and bread being sold like crazy. You know, it was chaos. But look at today. 88 degrees, sunshine, bees buzzing, grass is green. We're not thinking about that 18-inch snow. We're enjoying summer. See, that snow gave way to spring. It always does. I've lived here my whole life in North Carolina. I've lived here for 40-plus years in my life. And you know what? There's never been a year, I remember, where spring didn't come. Ever. It came. I remember one year it snowed in May when I was a little boy. We got a little bit of snow in May. I couldn't believe it. May. And we got it flurried a little bit. Do you know what? It didn't stop spring from coming. It pushed its head on through. Before you know it, the flowers were popping out. The maters were growing on the vine. The watermelons were being thumped. The cantaloupes were being sliced. The water hoses were running. We'll get cold water out the backyard. The pools were being filled up. It gave way. Our season is going to give way to a better season. For some of you, you've been in a hard season. I mean a hard season for a while. And you think it's not going to change. But it will change. You'll look back and realize that was a season of my life that was so bad and so hard. But you know what? God got me through it. I don't understand how I survived it, but I did. Somehow God got me through that season of my life. And here I am on the other end now, looking back, saying, God, you are with me. Sometimes we see God more after the fact than we do during the process. You know, because when we're going through it, where are you, God? Don't see you, don't hear you, don't feel you. You know, I've shook like Samson, you're not there. You know, I blink like Genie, you don't pop up. I mean, I don't know. Where are you at, God? Where are you at? Have you forsaken me in my time of need? In the process, it seems that way. But no, it's not. Because we'll get to the next season, and we'll look back and realize, God, you were there for me. You were holding me every day. You were protecting me from things I didn't see or didn't know were coming. You held me in place. You fixed me. You stabilized me. You anchored me in that season. Even though it was a hard season, you didn't forsake me, but you brought me out. It's a better season coming for you. Trust God and wait on it. Wait on it. There's some other men in the Bible we can talk about seasons. That you see extreme seasons. We see Moses. Moses, who should have died but lived as a baby, who was spared death. Then he murdered one of his brethren. Then he ran from the law and hid in the desert for 40 years. He's walking by one day, minding his own business. He's a fugitive from the law in the desert, a wanted man. He can't go back to Egypt. He'll be arrested. So he's hiding in the desert, tending sheep. Here's this great man that's going to be called to lead people out, was tending sheep in the desert. He walks by this bush, starts glowing. A voice comes out of the bush. Moses, Moses, I got an assignment for you. I've got something I'm going to give you. His season was changing right there. I'm giving you something. What do you want, God? Go back to Egypt. You're going to lead my people out. I've heard their cry. I've heard their bondage. You're going to deliver them out of slavery and bring them into the promised land. Not me, God. I'm wanted. Don't matter. Not me, God. I can't talk well. Don't matter. I've called you. That's all that matters. I've called you. We know the rest of the story. He goes back, delivers people to Moses, the great leader, the great deliverer, the great servant of God. His season changed. In an instant, his season changed. Joseph had seasons. He went to a pit to be done away with. Then he got put into slavery for a while. Then he got promoted. Then he got in prison for 2 years. Then he got promoted again. His season continually changed. But in the end, who was he? A prince of Egypt. God promoted him. We even see, I think about little Zacchaeus. The story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. As he is, you know, the Bible says he was, he was a crooked man. He'd rip people off of their money. But he climbed a tree one day to see Jesus. His season was about to change. This crook turned saint when Jesus passed his way. Called him down, said, I'll come to your house if you'll let me. Sure, you come to my house. His whole household was saved. Zacchaeus' season changed. Peter's season changed. Peter went from being a coward to a leader. Denied Jesus 3 times, but on the day of Pentecost, came out as a front runner declaring the gospel message. And of course, Paul. I mean, man, Paul. We're talking about his season changing. Hater of Christians. Evil, mean man on his road to Damascus to arrest anybody that believed in Jesus. A light shine, called out his name, says, I've got something new for you. I got a new assignment in your life. You're not going to be who you've always been. You're going to be work for me. And then Paul went on to be the great church builder, the great apostle in the Bible. Seasons change. We don't always are stuck where we're at. And those seasons aren't always good. I realize that. We get in a bad season. We don't see things coming. But God's going to bring you out And it's time for us to step out into a new season. Even the story of Peter, I was reading this, and I got to think about Peter. When he was in the boat, and they saw Jesus on the water, they thought it was a ghost. And they hollered out, and Jesus says, "It's me." And Peter said, "If it's you, Lord, bid me to walk out to you." Come on. Now let me ask you this. I want you to think about, really think about this. What kind of faith this really took. Imagine you're sitting on Lake Norman. You're in a boat. You see a man over here standing there. And that man says, "Joe Brown, you believe it's me? Step out of that boat and come to me." How many of us would step out of that boat? A lot of you can't swim, right? How many of you would step out on that boat? But Peter did. The Bible says he stepped out and he was walking on the water. Man, you're talking about stepping into a new season. He stepped into a depth he had never stepped into before. He stepped into a rim he never thought he would see before. Here he is in a boat minding his own business. Next thing he knows, he's walking on the water. And he was fine until they began to look at his surroundings. And that's where we all go wrong. We start looking at the things caving around us instead of the God that reigns in us. Stuff's going to always cave around us. I'm going to tell you, that's life. Things are going to always be crumbling around you. But it's who lives in you that makes the difference of whether you win or whether you lose. So here's Peter. He's walking. And then he sees the waves. He feels the wind. I think what happened, he realized what he was doing. I mean, can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. Hey, PC. I'm walking on the water. And then waves started hitting him, and he probably started rocking a little bit, you know, and felt the wind. Like, what am I doing out here? Oh, my gosh. And he began to sink. Cried out, "Jesus, save me." Of course, Jesus pulled him out, got back the boat, and says, "Oh, ye of little faith." He wasn't scolding Peter in a way. I mean, nobody else walked on water. It's recorded but him. I've not walked on water. Any of y'all walked on water? You may have thought you walked on water. That's when you were high or drunk. I'm talking about when you're sober. Have you ever walked on water? All right. So Peter walked on water, something nobody else recorded ever doing, but Jesus, of course. But what he was trying to say was, look, it's deeper than him failing not to stay on the water. That's what Jesus was talking to Peter about. He was saying, don't you trust me enough to step out and follow me? Don't you trust me enough to give your life and allegiance to me that I'm going to take care of you? Oh, ye of little faith, if I said come, you come. If I say go, you go. If I say I'm here, I'm here. If I say I'm king, I'm king. If I say I'm going to provide, I'm going to provide. If I say that I'm still your God, I'm still your God. Just trust me with that. Be encouraged. Don't be faithless, but be faithful. Realizing, I mean, and this ain't to crack on nobody. I mean, if y'all won, I'd want part of Sharon's. I ain't gonna lie to you. But you know, there are people, and I'm not saying anything wrong or right with it. I'm just saying, I'm using an example. Don't nobody get religious on me. I'm not talking about it, bad or good. Just an example. I know people that will spend money on those Powerball ticket things, and you go to these grocery stores, you buy the little $5, $10, $20 tickets, and people spend $10, $20, $30. Most of the time don't win nothing. Or they get excited. I won $5. Yep, you spent $30. Oh, yeah. So you lost $25. We put money in that machine, faith that we got the winning ticket. We start scratching. Can I get an 8? Mama needs a 7. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. And we start scratching. Oh, I got 2 8s. I need 1 more 8. I got faith. Oh, I got faith. Oh. We place faith in something with no power, but not faith in God who is all power. Really think about that. We place faith on things that are chance and not on that which is sure. God is sure. Everything else is chance, but not God. God is sure. So he can take care of you in the season you're in now and beyond if we place our faith in him and not in chance. It's all a gamble unless you're facing God. Everything else is just a gamble. I mean, if your marriage is a gamble if it's not placed in God. Your children are a gamble if you don't place them in God's hands. But when you place all that in God's hand, you've got a sure thing then. God, they're yours. My family is yours. My marriage is yours. My finance is yours. My health is yours. I trust you, God, more than anything else. We trust our medicine more than we trust God. We trust our jobs more than we trust God. We trust everything more than we trust God, it seems like. And we wonder why God isn't moving the way we want him to move. Trust me. Is your faith really in me, or is it in what you can do yourself? We're in a very self-interest generation. We know this. It's being preached to our young generation. It's being preached tremendously to live the way you want to live. Live your life. Let nobody tell you anything. It's live by no rules. Do it your way. Don't let nobody be the man in your life. We've got women telling sons, and what we got women telling women, you don't need no man in your life. You don't need no man in your life. You know what all that is? I'm not saying you do or don't need a man. I'm saying this. That's rebellious attitude. God made man and woman to be together. Made them to be together. We become so independent of rules that we just want to live our lives our way. We take God out of the equation. God has no authority in our lives anymore. Because I promise you, we live lives our ways, we'll reap the seeds our way, and they won't be pretty. God wants us to surrender to his will in every season of our lives, even the bad seasons. God, I'm in this season, don't like it, but I'm trusting you. You're going to have a better season for me. I'm going to step into a different season and a better season. I don't like where I'm at. You know, life can change dramatically. I see friends of mine that are a whole different place than they were a few years ago. In my own family's life, me and Mel in a different season than we were, of course, 20 years ago. Different season. We have three college students who left this church Sunday to go off to school, and all three of them are entering their own season, a different season, a new season. Seasons are important. Seasons are fun. Seasons are great. They're not always the best seasons, but they're part of life. But you're not going to stay where you're at. God's got something better for you. Trust him like Abraham did and step out and say, God, I'm ready for my new season. I don't want to stay where I'm at anymore. I know you've got something better for me. And while I'm in the season, I'm going to praise you. While I'm in this season, I'm going to thank you. While I'm in this season, you're still God. You're still God of my season. No matter what I'm facing or what I see, you're still God. You're faithful in that, Lord. And there's better seasons coming along for you. Better seasons. We see how that works throughout the Bible, how God had a change of guard. You know, David's season changed in an instant, didn't he? He was out just tending the sheep. A messenger came out and says, hey, Dad wants to see you. What does he want? Am I in trouble again? What did I get caught doing this time? He wants to see you, David. Just come on in town. All right. He's tending sheep. Plain, young, little, no experience, just a kid. And he walks into that house, and the prophet Solomon looks at him and says, that's the one. His dad must have been floored. You're kidding me. David's the one? Because as parents, don't we kind of peg our kids of what they would probably do and who's going to be the strong one, who's going to be the ones? And sometimes it's the weak one that surprises you. So here's Jesse saying, I've got eight other sons. They're all more qualified. They're all older. They're all in line. You want David, the runt of the litter, to be king? Prophet, if you really got this right, are you sure? I'm sure. That's the one. Man, David went from, his season went from tending sheep to being king of Israel. Here's the thing about seasons. They can change in a moment. One phone call can change your season. One person can change your season. One event can change your season. One blessing, one opportunity can change your season forever. So wait on that season. God's got something better for you than where you're at right now. And if you're in a good season, enjoy it. Embrace it. And thank God you're in that season. And if you're not in a good season, know it's going to pass away and God's got another one on the way for you. But trust him. Let's stand at our feet. I want to make a declaration over the church this morning, if that's okay. If you don't want to receive it, you didn't got to receive it. I just ask you just to stand in reverence of God and honor of what I'm going to do. But if you don't receive it, that's up to you. But I just want to pray a declaration over this church of a new season in your life. How the devil has fought, how the devil is trying to tear you apart, how the devil has attacked some of your minds, trying to attack your families, trying to tear people apart, trying to tear children from parents, trying to tear husbands from wives. Seasons that we don't like to be in. For some of you, you're in a season still of grieving and mourning. You're in a season of sorrow and depression. You're in a season of fear of the future. You don't know what's going to hold. You don't know, you know what tomorrow is going to bring. I love the song that Chuck and Jewel sung. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We know God holds our tomorrow. That's all that's important. God holds our tomorrow. If God holds our tomorrow, we're going to be okay. God, we're going to be okay. Lord, I want to declare with this body of people here today, right now, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that for every season now that is bad in the people's lives that are here now, that God, you show them hope, you show them light, you stir their faith, that you give them a new profound faith to stand where they're at, to stay the course, and to realize and recognize that you have a better season on the horizon. This season they're in, this bad season, will not last. It will give way, it will give birth to a better, a deeper season of their lives. It will fade away. The darkness will give way to your light. And I declare a new season, a better season, a brighter season over this body right now. That God, you stir in their hearts expectation where there's been depression. Lord, where you replace their fear with joy, with power, with a vision to know that it's going to be okay, that you're not going to leave them in this place forever, that you're going to shut this door of their lives and open a brand new one for them to walk through. Thank you for that, Lord. I declare that over this body, a better, brighter, new season of hope, joy, and power, and anointing and peace in the lives of your saints. For the families, for children, for grandchildren, for every seed linked to everyone here today, that their seasons will be bright and their hope will be in you always. In Jesus' name, God, we declare it and we believe it and we confess it. The devil is a liar. We will not be broken. We will not fall down. We will not be destroyed. We will rise up and take our position in the season of the appointed time you have for us. For we are the seed of a holy God, and we declare that in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise for that. God is good, always good.